You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
What we've got here is funny, like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
I don't believe in it.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Failure to communicate.
Oh, we love to communicate. Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, co-host of the Movie Date podcast, is in the studio. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Date podcast. It's a big movie weekend as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday, right?
Yeah. Indeed.
It seems like we've already had an enormous number of blockbusters, though, leading up to this point. The mix of movies for this holiday weekend seems a little odd, although interesting and exciting from my perspective. Let's talk about Hugo. Rafer, what's the premise here?
That is a tough one to describe, but it's basically an orphan who lives in the walls of the Paris train station in the 30s and discovers a secret that will lead him into the world of early cinema, the
and
very first
Scorsese.
Films. This is Scorsese. Doing the young adult 3D thing.
It's
yes.
A fantastic book.
Well,
yes.
Let's hear a clip.
Machines never come with any extra parts, you know. They always come with the exact amount they need. So I figured if the entire world was one big machine, I couldn't be an extra part.
Is this a little New York, New York of Martin Scorsese? Is it whimsical? Is it dark? What do you think?
I'm going to call it. Harry Potter goes to the Cinémathèque Française. That's what this is. It's a very good movie. It's very beautiful looking. It's a lot of fun. It's also a little cerebral, a little professorial, kind of technical. I mean,
Why Kristen Meinzer is shaking her head.
I'm absolutely
shaking my head on this one. I think that it is technically incredibly beautiful. The 3D is fantastic, but I felt that it actually lacked emotional oomph. I felt that it was an intellectual exercise with a pretty coating on the outside. And also just a pet peeve of mine, the comic relief for the first half of the film is making fun of a guy who has a leg brace and making fun of the leg brace.
Well,
and I find that just totally asinine. I'm sorry.
All right. The asinine there from Kristen Meinzer on Hugo, the Scorsese offering for this holiday weekend. How about this candle in the wind, folks?
Started this heat wave.
That is not Marilyn Monroe. That is Michelle Williams playing Marilyn Monroe in the movie My Week with Marilyn, which is all about a 55-year-old encounter between Marilyn Monroe and Laurence Olivier. It stars Kenneth Branagh. Kristen, what did you think?
Well, I think it's a great backstage romp. It's about the filming of the movie The Prince and the Showgirl, which is a terrible movie, by the way.
Directed by Olivier.
Olivier and Marilyn Monroe, and seen through the eyes of this young guy who's a third assistant director on the film.
Who wrote an actual memoir of
two memoirs.
And he had a relationship with Marilyn Monroe as a result of the whole thing.
A little bit of a relationship.
Yeah.
That he made much of 40 years later. Rafer, does this movie work?
I think it's an interesting movie. It's very modest. Not much happens, which is part of why I feel like it's probably true. I think the problem was one of the problems is Michelle Williams as Monroe. I think she can't quite get past that blonde wig and the beauty mark to really find the person, you know, underneath that. I'm not sure who could, but I didn't quite believe that she found anything really new in Marilyn.
Really. And the amazing thing about this story is how Olivier was just completely overmatched by the starlet, Marilyn Monroe, at the time. Is there any sort of comedy of seeing Olivier just getting his head handed to him?
Absolutely. I think that actually Kenneth Branagh is the best thing about this movie.
Yeah,
every single time he's on screen, you can't help but just be so delighted with the movie and laugh. He's just a great presence.
Well, speaking of movie delights, you know, I can't believe there hasn't been a Muppet movie since the first one 2 decades ago,
1999, I think.
Yeah.
Muppets in Space. Still, it's been a long time.
But
still,
the original Muppet movie was a gigantic blockbuster. It absolutely soared beyond anything Jim Henson had done on Sesame Street. Let's listen.
Sorry, Miss Piggy, but you've been replaced permanently.
I don't think so. Sister?
Who you calling sister? Sister?
Oh, look, an omelet station.
Oh, where?
There's only one Miss Piggy, and she is moi.
So, Kristen, what did you think?
You know, I was going in with, It wasn't quite fair to the movie because I loved the original so much.
Yeah.
I saw it on my
so
sixth
fantastic.
Birthday.
The show
I watched
was
the Muppet
so
Show yeah. every night mm-hmm. as a kid. I just loved it so much. So I'm
Pigs
not really
in space.
Pigs in space.
So it's not exactly fair. But that being said, I went in with an open heart. I did cry even at one point, which I cry during a lot of movies.
You do.
But that being said, it's
you
still
cry when you get to work every morning. What are you talking about?
That's for something totally different.
I felt like it did lack a little bit. I felt like it was afraid of being too sincere. And aww. I think that's a shame because I think the Muppets, if anything, were great at
the
being sincere.
The movie was so sincere. Yeah.
So it's a little too snarky, and that's a problem.
It's a little too campy. They do a few musical numbers where they're
it's
sort
a little
of
DreamWorksy
you know,
kind of.
I think they're just. I feel like they're kind of twisting their fingers and their dimples kind of thing, and it's a little too cutesy pie. And the Muppets were never about that. The Muppets were always very sincere.
Well, let's hear the soundtrack.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And
I mean, that's a classic.
Written by the great Paul Williams.
Paul Williams,
absolutely,
yeah.
Exactly. Any songs you're going to be humming on your way out of the theater in this movie?
I don't really think so. I don't think, aside from this one, which they redo, but I don't really think the songs work that well in the new movie, unfortunately.
Well, Kristen, you kind of like this one, didn't you?
Am I a man or am I a Muppet?
Little high concept
like
there.
You know, that's Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords. He's the musical director for this film. And there are a couple of good songs he puts
him.
Out there.
Yeah.
But I think that too often they rely on, again, the, you know, kind of snarkiness almost, that they don't even have all original music in this movie. They do a remake of We Built the City on Rock and Roll.
Right,
they
really.
Do.
Yeah. They, so it's greatest hits.
Yeah.
So Am I a Man or a Muppet? Something I think about every morning. a lot of people are going to be going to all kinds of movies this weekend. Any sort of recommendations from your views of the past couple of weeks? Anything people must see?
Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, if Moneyball is still out there, I would go see
really?
That one. Yeah, I really love Moneyball, and I would still put in a small plug for Tower Heist, which I really enjoyed, and it's not gotten the traction I think it deserves.
Oh yeah,
I liked it.
Kristen, unappreciated movies out
even
there.
Even with my problems with the Muppets, I would still see it if you miss them. If you love Kermit, go see it.
So Muppet movie is your recommendation.
Yeah.
And if you don't like any of these, Moneyball is the recommendation for Rafer.
Yeah.
Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway. Both co-hosts of the Movie Date podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.